KCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Marco Rubio met with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem today and vowed unwavering support for Israel's number one goal.
The people of Gaza deserve a better future, one that cannot begin until Hamas is eliminated.
Netanyahu called President Trump the greatest friend Israel has ever had in the White House. Still no motive in last week's murder of conservative critic Charlie Kirk. CBS's Andres Gutierrez with the latest on the suspect.
22-year-old Tyler Robinson is not cooperating with law enforcement. He has not confessed to commit assassination to authorities. He will be formally charged on Tuesday in Utah County.
Noah Wiley, nominated for an Emmy 5 times for ER, has finally won his first prize for actor in a drama series.
To anybody who's going on shift tonight or coming off shift tonight, thank you for being in that job. This is for you.
Stephen Colbert won his first for the now canceled Late Show. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. A bill proposed in Madison last week would allow Wisconsin residents to voluntarily be temporarily barred from being able to buy a handgun. According to reporting from the Wisconsin State Journal, the bill would require the Department of Justice to create a do not sell list, preventing individuals on the list from buying a firearm from a registered dealer. Individuals who want to be added to the list would be able to request a 1-year, 5-year, or 20-year ban. They would not be able to be removed from the list for the first full year. After that, they would have to wait another 48 hours for the request to be removed to take effect. The bill follows former State Representative Jonathan Brostoff, a Democrat from Milwaukee who advocated for improving mental health services, died by suicide last November. The federal government has approved nearly $30 million in FEMA funding. The Trump administration announced last week that they would approve a partial emergency declaration by Governor Evers. Evers requested the help following the August 9th through 10th storm that brought as much as 11 inches of rain on Milwaukee area communities over 24 hours. Everyday people with flood damage in Milwaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties will get the money. But that kind of help is still under review for people in Door, Grant, and Ozaukee counties. All 6 counties will get money to their local government to fix infrastructure, according to the governor's office. It's estimated that last month's storms did more than $76 million in damage to structures and public infrastructure. 1,500 homes were damaged or destroyed by flooding last month. Evers said the federal assistance for homeowners is expected to total $29.8 million. Previous estimates of residential property damage totaled $33 million. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
Another Brewer injury. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers clinched a playoff spot over the weekend, but lost to the Cards yesterday 3-2. Pitcher Jose Quintana giving up 3 runs in the second. Pat Murphy says Quintana was dealing with an injury.
Jose leaving with a calf injury is, you know, that's alarming with how injured we already are in the bullpen and on the mound.
The Brewers have the night off before playing the Angels tomorrow night. A report says the Brewers could be playing the Braves in the Little League Classic in Pennsylvania next year in August. MLB says an announcement coming soon. NFL. After having the weekend off, the Packers head to Cleveland this week to play the Browns. College football. Badgers to host the Maryland Terrapins on Saturday. They lost in Alabama 38-14.
We knew we had to come out here in the first half in particular and play solid, play poised, play confident. It's exactly opposite of what we did.
That's Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We have another warm, summery day on the way. Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 85 this afternoon. The wind just light out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, WGBW afternoon host and actor Eric Westfall joins in studio. Then Mental Health Warrior Film Festival founder Max Blaska joins. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning, September 15th, 2025. Joined as always on Mondays by Dr. Kristen Lyerly and by Up North News reporter Selena Heller. Selena will tell us in just a couple of minutes about an unusual, more colorful, not your typical protest that took place in the Chippewa Valley last week. That's on the way. Brittany should be back tomorrow to give us all the weather news, but you, of course, can catch the forecast throughout the day on your local Civic Media station. But in the meantime, Rob doesn't take a day off out in Tigerton, where he says, good morning, it's fair and 54 degrees. It was really a very beautiful weekend. Saturday had a mowing job and went to the Tigerton Lions Club steak fry. It was excellent with great steak. Sunday, watched some football. Then took around the countryside, seeing the changing colors of the leaves, and took some pictures for my social media and for my friends. We are definitely getting to that time of year with the leaves are like right there, just about to pop, depending on what part of the state you're in.
Mm-hmm. I posted one of Rob's pictures. They are absolutely beautiful. And Rob also sent me an article about some disability benefits that are in danger right now because of the Trump administration. So I'll be making a little TikTok video about that later today. Thank you, Rob.
You have been a TikTok machine recently.
Well, there's a lot of information that people need to know, and it's great to be able to put it into a bite-size, you know, clump. Yep. And let people have a conversation about it.
I wouldn't call your videos a clump. yeah, no, they're very nice. Rob also notes last night Northern I saw Lights. The Northern Lights.
I was going to say that. Yeah, Northern Lights were out last night. A lot of Wisconsin, it seems.
Yeah, I saw one picture. I'm sure by now social media is full of them, but very early this morning, somebody put one up. And I was like, wow, is that what they looked like last night? So that's great. Some people got a very nice view. I'll be looking at that. In the history section, I neglected to mention today is National Google Day, because that's when they claimed the domain this day in 1997. It is World Engineers Day, and it's Double Cheeseburger Day. Oh. And it is the start of Hispanic Heritage Month. And if people go, well, wait, it's the middle of the month. Well, yeah, Hispanic Heritage Month runs from September 15th to October 15th, because several countries today mark September 15th as their Independence Day, including Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, all declaring independence from Spain on this particular day. So, yes, again, happy Hispanic Heritage Month for folks. Double cheeseburger, I don't know, might be a bit much for me. I'm more of a sliders guy, you know.
Oh, really? I do love a good double cheeseburger. Maxi Burger from Dick's Drive-In in Kakana any day.
We did, after we did the fall festival, we headed up to Amber Inn up at the top of the hill there in Eau Claire, above the old Uniroyal factory. It's just some of the best burger ever, you know, on a griddle that I'm convinced dates back to the Warren Harding administration. And shall we say,
maybe it hasn't.
Yeah, right. It's properly seasoned. Yeah, shall we say.
That's where it gets its special flavor.
That's right. So, well, while we're talking about things in Eau Claire, actually, before, Selena, we get to the Eau Claire story, I do want to mention the other news from this morning. State Senator Kelda Roy is announcing that she is jumping into the governor's race, making her candidacy official today. So I'm sure we'll be talking to her a lot in the coming 11 months between now and the primary election. And Kristen, you saw Kelda recently.
Yeah, I got to spend some time with Kelda. Actually, she gave me and the president of ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and the chair of the OBGYN department down at UW-Madison, and a bunch of students and residents, a little tour of the Capitol during our big meeting over the weekend. You know, Senator Royce has been a huge champion for women's health and abortion rights for a very long time. So I'm really excited to see what she brings to the table as a candidate for governor.
Yes, she gets in a race that also includes Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. With Sarah Rodriguez running for governor, that opens up that spot. And so you've got Sarah Godlewski, the current Secretary of State, now running for Lieutenant Governor, which means there's an opening for Secretary of State. And in that post, you have Milwaukee Common Council member and former legislator Jocasta Zamarripa running for Wisconsin Secretary of State. And Jocasta Zamarripa will be our guest here live just over an hour from now. So a lot to cover just today alone on the things that are going on. Selena, you were covering a recent protest in Eau Claire about budget cuts. And it wasn't your typical, you know, just carry some signs and, you know, chant some things, which is fine. I mean, everybody should be able to protest something they feel strongly about. But if you can add a little splash of color or character, especially the characters, well, that's what you'd find in Eau Claire last week, right?
Yep. Wizard of Oz themed it was, because they called it Toto, we're not in America anymore.
It definitely feels that way to some folks. And so and people got into the theme, didn't they?
Well, yes, they were wearing lion costumes and Dorothy's and witches and even houses. Like, it was, they had to spend a lot of time on these costumes.
These were very creative. My favorite was somebody put their little dog in a basket, you know, like Toto, and the sign around the basket said, "Nobody's coming to eat me." You know, thinking back to Trump going, "They're eating the dogs."
Yep.
Yes, I did see one person dressed as a house. They basically built a house costume around themselves. Is that who you talked to?
That is who I talked to, Amy Holton. She's from Chippewa Falls, and she talked about kind of why she was there. And they have these rallies. Chippewa Valley Indivisible hosts these rallies every week. So they marked the six month anniversary of having these rallies. And that's why they kind of did something a little bit different and more colorful. So this is Amy Holzum of Chippewa Falls talking about why she was there.
I'm here because I strongly believe in preserving our democracy. And I'm just astounded at what has happened to our country in the last 6 months. So I'm here to show support and get others to rally as well. And I'm hoping for a blue wave in 2026.
What are the things that affect you the most, or that you're the most surprised about?
Oh boy. So rule of law is really important to me. My father was a police officer, and I'm just appalled at the pardons that Trump has given to criminals and what he's doing to immigrants that are not criminals. So, you know, I just feel strongly in the rule of law. That's what makes our country great. You know, it's what provides stability and makes people trust our country. And without it, you know, I think we're in tough shape.
Well, that's Amy Holzen of Chippewa Falls. And I like that she emphasized something beyond just the budget cuts. And believe me, the budget cuts are plenty of the protests, people's health care, people's nutrition benefits. But here in her case, she's actually looking out for others, for law and order, for the criminals being let loose and the immigrants who are being treated as criminals. And I'm sure you saw that kind of selflessness in other folks in the crowd as well, Selena. We're always told, oh, democracy is not the number one issue. People are worried about their wallets and everything. You know, it's still kind of important.
Well, and that was the thing too, because
along with the Wizard of Oz theme. It was, you know, the words of Glinda the Good Witch still hold true today. And that was kind of the sentiment that because Glinda said, and it was, you know, the rally is talking about coming together to fight for each other. And so Glinda says, "You've always had the power. You've had it all along, my dear." And so that was kind of the theme of helping each other out and banding together to kind of come together to fight all of these things.
Krista is our representative, Glinda. You can concur with those remarks. You talk to people who it's about the budget cuts for some people, but it's about taking care of each other for other people.
I think that for most people, they are tired of politics. They are tired of the rhetoric. They just want to live their lives. And that's why they're worried about the cost of goods and services, because that is real for them. And the whole democracy thing seems very tied up with politics. But the truth is, all of that political stuff is what makes prices higher, is what makes it harder to find a job, is what makes it more challenging to get an education. So it is important to engage in whatever way you can. And it's delightful to see things like this happening, where people don't have to be hardcore. They can be creative and fun, but still acknowledge, hey, this isn't what we have, what we want to see for the future of our country.
Well, especially when you consider that people look at others who protest and think, oh, they're just always angry about something, and that anger is the fuel for protests and demonstrations. And that's not necessarily so, that these are friends and neighbors who still have a sense of humor about things, but want to, you know, express a particular point of view. And this isn't the only example of that. There's also the example in, was it Superior? Where was it, Superior or Wausau? Gosh, I lost track now. For Congressman Tom Tiffany's office, where they tend to turn the lawn sprinklers at the office building for Tom Tiffany's office just coincidentally seem to come on when there are protesters outside of Tiffany's office. And so one day they showed up in when the sprinklers came on, they took off their top layer, and there they were in swimsuits and flippers and snorkels and things like that, and turned it into a beach party, because you got to have a sense of humor about these things.
Yeah, they played beach music, had umbrellas, and they were ready, and they were dancing around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Art and joy and music will save us. Trust me. Lean into it.
Yeah. Along with compassion and empathy, we were reminded many times in the past few days that somebody referred to empathy as like some kind of a new age made up term. And I think that really didn't set well with people who are looking at the reactions of the past few days since the Charlie Kirk assassination and saying, you know, actually, it's right that we have empathy for one another. And that includes being against political violence, even against somebody that you didn't agree with. There's a lot that could be learned if empathy was a bit more of a quality of the people who are in power right now.
And it's right that we talk about it. I think mm-hmm. a lot of us are feeling very afraid to say anything because we're afraid to say the wrong things. But the truth is, we have to have these conversations, and they have to be from the heart, and we have to listen to each other, or we will not come to a place where there is a shared understanding.
That's right. Yeah, Sonia, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's that word. I remember putting that, I think, on last year's sheet on the Meet the Teacher Day. Like, what do you want just to make sure Emory, you know, learns this year or whatever? And one of those things that I put on there was empathy, and, you know, to look out for others and think about other people. And I hope that's what they're kind of relaying in school also.
Hope they do as well. Yeah, it's in shorter supply than it needs to be in this country these days, that's for sure. Let's take a look at sports here at 7:18. You had the Brewers playing the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend, and they did clinch a place in the playoffs. So there will be postseason baseball for the Brewers, but there's still plenty to play for, because if they're currently, you know, best record in baseball, the top two records get a bye in the first round. And as we know, the Brewers have not done well in the first round of the playoffs. So if they could skip that wild card series and get right to the divisional series, that would be a good thing. So the magic number still stands at 8 to clinch the Central Division, but the Brewers are in the playoffs. They fell short yesterday 3-2 against the Cardinals, but they did win on Friday and Saturday. But as for yesterday, a couple of solo home runs by Caleb Durbin and Danny Jansen were all that they could muster. The Brewers are off today, and they will be hosting the Los Angeles Angels coming up on Tuesday. Coverage begins tomorrow at 6:05 on several civic media stations. Head over to the website to learn more. Of course, the Packers were off yesterday because they'd won on Thursday. Their next game is next Sunday, September 21st at noon at Cleveland. And the Badgers were, they were walloped by Alabama 38-14. And they will next open the Big Ten season this coming Saturday, hosting Maryland. You'll hear that on several civic media stations as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
And talking generally about Wausau Community Theater, and something I've talked about Ian about is, you know, he finds it to be so encouraging and welcoming. And for folks out there who may, you know, have an interest in it, they may have, you know, sit in the audience this coming weekend and they think, well, I'd like to be involved in some way. Give us your pitch. Why should they do it?
Yeah, come play with us. We're here to create art and do things for the community and build theater locally, so you don't have to drive all the way to Minneapolis or Chicago or those big, you know, those faraway places with expensive tickets to go see theater. We can do it here. It's a wonderful outlet if you have an artistic itch or a logistical itch. I'm more logistical than artistic. I stage manage a lot. Mm-hmm. I like to really organize and bring people together, and it's so much fun. Most of our rehearsals are in the evening, so for a lot of folks that works really nicely with a work schedule. We are very family friendly. I've had productions where my production staff was a set of parents, and so the kids were playing in one room or just hanging out, and sometimes they got involved and we put them up on stage as well. So it's been really cool to see like all the relationships that you can build and all of the different types of things that we can do. And I know in particular with our theater on the side, we've been striving every production to bring in a new element of tech. So we have a new tech thing that we're trying this production. So if you really want to try something different or new, this is a great place for that.
Paula, what about your experiences with WCT?
Yeah, my grandson, he's 16, is helping with this show backstage. This is the third show he's worked on. And he is having such a wonderful time. He loves this. When I was talking with him last night. I said, you know, this is the kind of place that you meet people that you would never, ever meet anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It brings in people from all walks of life that you would probably never meet any other way, any mm-hmm. other time. And it's all ages. You can start with children's theater. You can get into adult theater. And so you get to work with people, children, all ages, which is very cool, too.
You mentioned that the theater on the side, and this is a production for your Theater on the Side program at WCT.
Yes.
One of the interesting things from my perspective, and I've actually gone to a couple of the shows on the side, and actually when they were over at the Whitewater, but now you're in the Black Box. But the thing that jumps out to me is I know there are a lot of folks that love the musicals, mm-hmm. but I think shows like this, these kind of shows really do add to the palette of the WCT, don't they?
I think so. I think musicals are wonderful. They have their place. I've directed, I've performed in them. I love them. But there's something so wonderful about getting that intimate experience of really crafting a story where you don't have the props and the flashiness of all of the singing and dancing. You've got to really dive into the storytelling of building a characters, and you get time to really focus on details. And with Theater on the Side, because we're a smaller stage, like this time we're in a Black Box theater, the audience is going to feel like they're sitting in my kitchen. They're going to see the running water and the opening refrigerator and the dishes and the crumbs. They're going to be so up close and a part of everything, and it's so cool. And I love a musical, but you won't get that in a musical. You have to be in an audience farther away, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet back, yep. and just watch from a distance. And here you get to be a part of our show.
And Paula, as a performer in a situation like this, when you do have the audience so close, do you sense it differently than in a different production or where it's maybe more traditional, where there's that buffer between you and the audience?
You do. You feel their emotion. You can sense it. With a big musical, you hear the applause and that's it. You don't get that sense of, you don't hear the or a crying. You know, sometimes you hear a sob or something, so you know you've touched them, and it's fulfilling. I've done both musicals and straight plays, and I love the musicals, but I don't have a lead voice, so mm-hmm. I don't have a chance to get a lead character where I do in a play. That makes it more fulfilling for me. I love both, but yeah, I like the straight plays.
And I guess before we give the information on how to see it this coming weekend, what's the final pitch? You have a chance here for folks that are thinking about, hey, I have some options to go out this coming weekend. Why should they come and see this show?
This one in particular has such strong characters, diverse, but they're very developed characters, and the cast portraying them is very strong, I think. That's a big plus.
I think it's an interesting story. I think if you like to watch movies, if you like to binge on Netflix, you'll enjoy something like this. It tells a story. It's something interesting. You'll have moments where you laugh. You might have moments where you're shocked or you're going to cry. There's definitely going to be a little bit of thinking and ruminating at the end of the production. And I hope that it opens up dialogue for people to just have a good chat with a friend. I mean, to get to talk about, like, oh, wow, that I've never actually thought about the world this way. And also still have an enjoyable time. Because I think that's what I love most about this story, is it's thoughtful, but it's still enjoyable. That's why I said it's a drama, but it's light.
There's nothing like live theater.
Right.
I mean, and it really isn't.
The vibe, because of the 50s, to see the 50s in the set. The set's wonderful.
And imagine and the costumes. Yeah,
the costumes are vintage, and they're wonderful. Yeah,
they are actually, I think, mostly all vintage.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but really close. And you've been wearing heels and a big puffy skirt for all of the rehearsals. So it's been fun.
Fantastic. Really great opportunity. Home I'm Darling by Laura Wade, performed at the UWSP Wassup Black Box Theater this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 p.m., and then a matinee on Sunday at 2 p.m. You can get tickets. Go to the Wassup Community Theater Facebook page. You have a rather long, little bit of a longer website, but what we'll do as well is on our podcast page and our show notes, we will have a link where you can get your tickets as well. So just go to our podcast page, and we'll have the link in terms of getting tickets. And You were saying, Laura? Oh, I mean, Paula.
And there may be tickets at the door, too. Right now, the Sunday performance is nearing sold out. But come, try to get a ticket.
There you go.
It's worth it.
Chanel Vopel and Paula Hawkins, break a leg, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
The time is 7:29. Coming up, bottom of the hour, we'll have the farm report, an information update. We'll look at the weather forecast and, again, get you ready for the rest of the day. Then following that, it's more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Federal milk marketing order reform is in place. While dairy farmers may be feeling a pinch, their processors are as well. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. One dairy economist's perspective on that situation coming up.
What makes Dairyland Seed silage unique? Better. Designed specifically to maximize tonnage potential in the upper Midwest, Dairyland Seed silage products contain higher starch content and the highest level of fiber digestibility for optimized milk production. And to help get even more milk in the tank, these elite genetics are supported by your dedicated local dealer and direct access to a team of leading agronomists and silage experts. Better silage, better support, better results. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
Mike Brown is the Vice President for Dairy Market Intelligence at TC Jacoby and Company. He says the projections they're looking at as far as Class 3 milk prices that Wisconsin dairy producers are banking on could drop by as much as 90 cents a hundredweight or 7.5 cents per gallon. Some of this influenced by the federal milk marketing order changes that have gone into effect as of June 1st. And Brown says it's not just dairy producers that are hurting. Processors are as well.
I think what's important when you look at that regulated price, what you paid for your milk, and I think your farmers are asking the right question. Why has this changed? What does it mean? It's important to look at the revenue side, too, and what's going on with our processors in the state, particularly our specialty processors who don't have the ability to process whey to its full value. And even the cream market right now is very weak. So even though the price of butter has obviously dropped a lot, cream multiples are also poor. So they're losing money on their cream as well. It's getting harder to make that up on the cheese side.
Mike Brown, Vice President of Dairy Market Intelligence at TC Jacoby and Company. He says another item that the federal milk marketing orders are forcing to change, premiums. He said right now, producers might start seeing their milk plants coming to them to try to negotiate on an adjustment in that premium. He says it's something to be aware of. Markets coming your way next.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation.
This morning, December corn is down 4 at 426, November beans down 3 at 1043, and July new crop wheat's unchanged at 561 a bushel. There's a quick market snapshot on a Monday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We have another warm, summery day on the way. Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 85 this afternoon. The wind just light out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend news and sports headlines and discuss Suicide Awareness Month and why the rates keep going up in the state of Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back on this Monday morning, September 15th. Nice to have you here across the Civic Media Radio Network. We were mentioning earlier the Prime Rib Trail, story about that in this morning's newsletter. You can be sure to check that one out. There's also a story in there on how to apply for FEMA flood relief if you're in southeast Wisconsin, now that that disaster aid has been released. And a reminder that tomorrow is National Voter Registration Day. So it is a good reminder to maybe go check your own status at myvote.wi.gov. There's no election anytime soon, which means now you've got the time to get registered without all the pressure. Double check your registration because sometimes voter files, you know, get cleaned up or modified. So Voter Registration Day is tomorrow. That reminder coming from our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. One group that is especially good at reminding you to get registered to vote and get up on the issues is Citizen Action. And Robert Craig is the executive director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin, citizenactionwi.org. Robert Craig, good morning. How are you?
I'm good under the circumstances. Always great to be with you, Pat.
I was going to say, that's kind of the evergreen answer since January. We completely understand that. And we, as part of our Movement Mondays, where we try to get in touch with all kinds of groups that are working to, you know, defend and enhance democracy and focus on all kinds of issues. I mean, Exhibit A has to be Citizen Action in terms of, you know, choosing those high priority issues and educating voters about them. There is, let's start with climate, because you actually have an event coming up that's related to the climate, which to me seems quite appropriate, given that if there's been one, well, there have been many themes from the current administration, but one of them is certainly dealing with not just denying that we have a changing climate, but being hostile to it and doing everything possible to kill the march toward a new generation of jobs and clean energy, and instead go back to as much, you know, coal and oil and fossil fuels as possible. And Citizen Action is among the groups saying, you know, on behalf of a majority of Americans, not so fast. So what's going on?
Well, there are mobilizations all over the country, actually. Some are calling it Sunday. So you're absolutely right. The science doesn't change, and this is a supermajority position. Most people think that there is a climate crisis and believe we should do something and take the action directed. Though the small group that is very loud of climate deniers, and then you have a government currently at the federal level, which is completely captive to the fossil fuel interests and seems to think somehow that making America great again means going to a dirty, more expensive fossil fuel economy that is increasingly outmoded. There's not only the question of we need to reduce emissions in order to create a world that is livable for our children and where the beautiful environment we love in Wisconsin is preserved, but frankly, solar energy in particular has become so inexpensive and is exploding so much all over the world. What this administration is actually doing is doing something more expensive, also caused a lot of pollution that caused a lot of health problems, lung cancer and asthma, and will increasingly increase people's utility bills that are increasingly unaffordable. That's why you saw Xcel Energy in the western part of the state asking for a 19% increase from the Public Service Commission. And so the Wisconsin Climate March is on September 30th. We're part of a large coalition of environmental groups that are pushing it. It's not only Citizen Action as an initiative. So this is very much a joint project in Madison. And Citizen Action members around the state are going to be joining many others who care about this issue. And where we are, Pat, is we can't stop this administration for the next few years doing what it's going to do. But it doesn't change the science. It doesn't change the fact that we, to prevent runaway climate change, need to cut emissions in half by 2030. That's 5 years from now. It simply puts the onus on state government and local government. And so as we go into this last legislative session of before a big elections that could change, that could, and elections that will determine who the governor is and who controls the legislature, it's critical to make this a key agenda item for a new legislature, because it doesn't, the science doesn't change, and the fact that the federal government's doing the reverse of what it should be doing cannot stop us from addressing this situation.
We're talking to Robert Craig from Citizen Action, and one of the measures you're talking about there is called the Climate Accountability Act. It would require the legislature to pass a concrete and enforceable plan to cut greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030. And maximize the economic benefits for all Wisconsin residents. And Citizen Action puts it to its members quite clearly. Does your state legislator support it? And go ahead and call and ask. Ask your state senator, ask your state assembly rep if they support something this concrete, this tangible, to get us off of fossil fuels and into a new direction. Which really comes to the heart of what Citizen Action is about, is asking questions and sharing information. Sometimes it's through deep canvassing at the doors, but sometimes it's just asking pointed questions of your legislators instead of just waiting for the speeches and the press releases, is to say, hey, where do you come down on this? It's a very direct method that Citizen Action has to when it comes to information and education, right?
Yeah, you put it very well, Pat. We're trying to create clear issues for people so you can understand what is taking serious action on the climate crisis and what isn't, because frankly, that gets muddled and muddied in legislative politics and by both parties, quite frankly. And so there was actually a lot of resistance, even among Democrats and some progressives, introducing the Climate Accountability Act, as we worked on it with our members across the state and our organizing cooperatives and with allied legislators. But once it was released earlier this year, Pat, it quickly drew 33 co-sponsors, including a lot of moderates. And it's all it does is it requires the state to do what is scientifically minimally necessary to prevent runaway climate change, which is have a plan to cut emissions in half. The visions tend to come once you talk about what the plan is. And what we wanted to do is get out of that and say, look, if we agree we have to achieve the outcome, then we have to get serious in a legislative session. And so this says by the end of the next legislative session, there will be an accountable, enforceable plan, and the legislature has to figure it out, and a governor has to figure it out. And so we're continuing to roll this out across the state in different regions and try to build support beyond 33. But what we've learned is that if let's say the legislature changes hands, that'll be a big fight in 2026. Let's say you have a Democratic quote-unquote trifecta, that is Democratic state assembly, state senate, and governorship. It's our experience, and this is what happened when the 2 years Democrats had full control in the 21st century, a decade and a half ago. If the agenda isn't already set, the legislature won't actually reach agreement, even if it's a Democratic legislature. So this is trying to set a bold agenda that will actually address our major problems, climate crisis being one of the major ones. But of course, there are others, like our funding and education, like the healthcare crisis.
Or like the one I was going to bring up next, the Hospital Accountability Act, because again, hospital monopolies can actually threaten a community's health. And so once again, Citizen Action has a Hospital Accountability Act and asking, does your state legislator support that? What is it that people should know about hospital monopolies and the way that they impact Wisconsin healthcare?
Well, we need to understand that, speaking of the science, the research is overwhelming that the primary driving reason for healthcare inflation, which is, healthcare is so unaffordable, people, that most people with, over half of people with insurance are skipping care. They have insurance, but they don't think they can afford the co-pays, deductibles, and all the surprise medical bills, because you never know what the bill is going to be after any significant medical interaction. That makes them sicker, and they don't get the care and preventative care they need. Wisconsin in the 1980s deregulated the hospitals. The hospital association, their trade association, said the market will take care of it. We used to regulate how much they can charge, just like utilities. Energy utilities have to get their rates approved. Often we think the government commission, the PSC, approves rate increases they shouldn't, but at least there's an approval process, not true with hospitals. And then the other thing is that they used to be able to have to get approval to build new expensive things, new hospitals, new facilities, to make sure that it was actually needed and wouldn't increase prices. We got rid of both those regulations. They've consolidated and become even bigger and bigger monopolies, and they've dramatically increased prices so much that in Wisconsin, we have the highest hospital cost in the Midwest and the fifth highest in the country. And they're more than triple what is charged to Medicare, which is a sufficient rate in our wonderful Medicare system. And so we've been working with Senator Jeff Smith, a good friend of yours from the western part of the state, Eau Claire, and a lot of the rural areas south and west of Eau Claire, and hope to introduce that this fall. But it would restore regulation of what the price is, and it would also restore state approval to build expensive new facilities. And it would therefore approve them if you're building facilities in underserved areas, like rural areas that have a lack of hospitals, lack of birthing centers, et cetera, and urban areas, like in Central City, Milwaukee. And you would not be able to build duplicative stuff just to get more market share and make more profit, and then raise all of our prices. So we hope to be introducing that soon. We hope that there'll be, just like with the Climate Accountability Act, a lot of support for that. By the way, by doing that, you could also free up a lot of money to put into the Medicaid system, Pat, that would actually help mitigate the horrible cuts that are coming down the road because of Donald Trump's big, ugly bill.
And also there's one about utility costs and a note that says that legislators should consider a 2% income cap on utilities. In other words, no one should be paying more than 2% of their income for utilities. Ask your state legislators if they support that as well. And that too, in a way, comes back to, again, market control, monopolies. Are you working for the shareholders or are you working for your customers? Again, a common theme from Citizen Action.
Yeah, I was just talking about the hospital monopolies. Utility monopolies, they have a legalized monopoly. They're the only ones that can provide power within a service region. And they've used it to block renewable energy people can control, like rooftop solar, unless you have the money to get a loan yourself, and that's middle and upper middle class people who think to do it and figure it out. And energy conservation measures that would reduce the amount of energy we use. We have a vast amount of energy conservation we could do with commercial and residential buildings that hasn't been done. We're just wasting energy because utilities make profit, Pat, by selling more of it and building huge, large plants, especially fossil fuel plants, that they can securitize through Wall Street, another financial arrangement, in order to make a massive capital investment and profit over a 40-year period. They're building far more of this capacity, which is expensive and raises all our rates than we need. It also hurts the climate, and it also causes pollution that harms people. And so this changes the incentives, and this is being drafted as well. It says that you are going to pay more if people are paying far too high a rate for their utilities. And 2% is a reasonable amount that people can afford at any income level. Middle, upper middle class people pay around that now. Low income people pay much more, 15, 20%, and they can't afford that. Then they can't pay rent.
So that, I mean, and there's so many more options that we didn't even get into. There's the Badger Care public option. There's a $20 minimum wage. All that and more Citizen Action will be working on in the fall legislative session. So, Robert, I hope you just come back and we can talk about more of that in the future. Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Thank you, sir. Good to talk to you as always.
Great. Always a pleasure, Pat. You're a real pro. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Joe Castas-Amarripa, candidate for Wisconsin Secretary of State, is coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Happy Monday. You are listening to the WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, online at WXCO.FM, and on the Civic Media app as well. You can also listen to us on, also watch us on our YouTube channel as well. It's an absolutely beautiful day out there. The sun is shining with a high of 60 at the moment. It's actually pretty comfortable. Well, I am your engineer, producer, Ian Welsh, and...
And I am Chad Holmes, and good morning. Again, WXCO Morning Report, Monday morning, as we are now to the 15th day of September, midway through the month, but we are going to expect very summer-like weather, in fact, for this week. You look for temperatures, high temperatures, around 80 degrees for much of the week. Not much in terms of precipitation either. So if you're somebody that is looking to stretch out the summer and use that as an opportunity to keep those outdoor activities coming, it will be a great week for that. And also, again, thanks earlier to our guests from the Wausau Community Theater. Your opportunity will be on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening, and also Sunday afternoon. Home, I'm Darling at the Black Box Theater at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point at Wausau Campus and their Venega Theater. Again, the Black Box, brand new location for the Theater on the Side programs. And as I mentioned at the end of our interview a few minutes ago, that we will have a link for you on our show notes every day. We have our WXCO Morning Report, and we have the four segments of the Morning Report. They're all put in as a podcast, and you have an opportunity to listen to it at your convenience. You'll hear those two segments that involved our interview with our WCT cast members, and then also these two segments as well, and you can listen to them all in one sitting. Don't have to break it up like we do here during the morning. But we also have notes on what we talk about each and every morning. Go to WXCO.FM, and you'll see on the front page, you'll see the news section. You will see the WXCO Morning Report, and you just click on that. You'll see the description and also the link to the podcast. And also, we often will put unedited versions of our interviews, and we'll do that again today with our WCT cast members. But we will also have again a link for you to get those tickets. And as we heard, this is a very small venue, the Black Box Theater, so not a lot of tickets. So if you're somebody that usually would wait until show night and get those tickets at the door, that is a possibility, but maybe not as big a possibility as normal. So I would suggest that you check out the link, click that link if you know you're going to be able to see one of the shows again this coming weekend. Four different opportunities: Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, and then Sunday a matinee with the Wausau Community Theater. Have you ever been to the Black Box at the Venega?
I have, actually, but not as a performance. It's a space, but more of a backstage, a dressing room hangout space as well. It's a very nice Black Box. It's very open. It's actually, I can imagine it'd be a great place to have a smaller show like WCT is going to have this coming weekend.
So absolutely.
And not many tickets available because the Black Box, like you said, is not very big. So make sure you get those tickets in advance because they will definitely go by quick as soon as the weekend comes.
very intimate theater. You feel it. You're right there on top of it. And that was the case as well when the performances for the Theater on the Side were at the Whitewater Music Hall.
It was such a great venue.
They had the seats very close. I remember seeing Crimes of the Heart there. That was very, very fun to be that close to the action. I mean, you can almost literally touch the actors and be that close. It felt like you were on stage yourself, and it's going to be even to a even better level for this show as well. So again, there's so many great opportunities for the arts here in North Central Wisconsin, whether you're being involved in them or whether as a spectator, and this will be an opportunity for a spectator this weekend. Another big week of high school sports coming up here on 98.9 WXCO. Coming up on Wednesday, we will have our big high school sports show from 6 until 8 p.m. We will talk about what happened last weekend in high school football, look ahead, plus guests as well. I know our student-athlete guest for this week, Corbin Enzenroth of D.C. Everest. He had a massive game with more than 200 yards rushing, helping D.C. Everest pass Wausau West on Friday night by a score of 17-0. Corbin Enzenroth will be our student-athlete guest just after 7 o'clock. I have my invitation out for an area coach, coach of a team that earned a significant win on Friday night. Have not been able to confirm it yet, so I will not say it yet, but we will have a coach, and I think the one that we have invited would be a terrific one to hear about after a good win on Friday night. So again, join myself and Jason Foster this Wednesday and every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show right here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And this week we have three high school football games between Thursday and Friday. On Thursday night, we will have the Wausau East Lumberjacks at Mosinee. Wausau East at Mosinee in a great Northern Conference matchup. 6:35 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff. Again, live here on 98.9 WXCO and online. Then same for the Wausau West Warriors on Friday. Wausau West plays host to Wisconsin Rapids, 6:35 for the pregame. And Newman Catholic in a big one in the CW8 takes on the first place team of the conference, Marion Tigerton. That game will be heard on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.FM and the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:40. And that game will also air on tape delay following the West game at Friday night as well. So, again, a very busy week coming up of high school athletics on Wausau's only radio play-by-play home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO. The time is almost 8 o'clock. Information update coming up, and then we'll be back. We'll have our number for the day quiz coming up.
Yep.
And our next WXCO mornings report at 8:22.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Marco Rubio's promising unwavering support for Israel after meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem this morning.
What happened on October 7th was an act of unparalleled barbarism, and what's happened since then have been repeated acts of unparalleled barbarism on the part of Hamas.
We're learning more about the investigation into last week's assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk in Utah. CBS's Andres Gutierrez is in St. George.
22-year-old Tyler Robinson is not cooperating with law enforcement. His family and those that are close to him are cooperating.
Officials say that includes his roommate and romantic partner. 15-year-old adolescent star Owen Cooper is now the youngest male actor to win an Emmy.
I think tonight proves that if you listen and you focus and you step out your comfort zone, you can achieve anything in life.
A first for Stephen Colbert's now canceled Late Show It Took Best Talk series. CBS.